Today. All right, it's 3:02. We'll call the Yamhill Water Advisory Committee meeting to order. Get a roll call.
Mullen here.
Wofford here. Jensen here. We have a quorum.
And you've got John Christensen too.
We got John online. Do we have any public comment?
Not seeing any raised hands online.
Hearing that, I don't have the minutes from last meeting. Everybody's good. We'll table the minutes until our next meeting. We'll try and get caught up. Logjam update. The note I had, it looks like the mayor's working with legal to define funding. I don't know if you have anything on that, Jason.
Sure, I'm just talking about that. We're still kind of digging through to make sure that that's a possibility. Did you have?
Is it approved? I did the. Is the logjam okay to build?
It, the council's adopted it and they're working on the funding and the legal portion of it now, because there were some questions about the developer would offer to fund the money.
But I mean, the forestry and the streams.
That's still in the works. That's all in permitting. So that's.
Did John have anything to add to that about permitting or anything or no?
I don't believe John can answer that for himself, but I don't believe so.
Yeah, what was going on was I sent information to the mayor about the developer. So she's working on the legal end, but there's John.
Any updates, John?
Nope, just still waiting for direction from either this group or city council to proceed with it. I know we talked about last month potentially going back to the developers team to have them push it through. That's fine. We can do that and review the work for the city, or we can also do it in-house here. So either way, we'll support the city in getting through that project.
I think that's what the mayor's working on, the legal, what we can and can't do with the developer, from what I understand. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, John, while you're there, you want to just dive into this offline reservoir?
Yeah. So after last meeting, I took a look at the site area and kind of came up with a cost estimate for Jason for developing a plan for that. So there's really two ways that can go, either an in-stream reservoir or an offline reservoir. So again, we're just looking for direction from city council or this committee to proceed with developing that concept plan.
I know, John, in our discussion, you know, the offline reservoir was quite significant in savings and time. And that was just something I wanted you to kind of express to everybody at this committee.
Sure. Yeah, so an offline reservoir, that basically would get permitted through Oregon Water Resources, not through Corps and DSL, because at that point you're not doing anything that affects aquatic life or impacting any natural resources. So that's a much more streamlined process. That's something that permitting wise, if we can get everything to fit in the area, that's something you could get permits within a year to do. If we were going with an in-stream dam, then you're talking about a fish ladder and all those elements. So that becomes more of a probably 2 to 3 year permitting effort to get approval for that system. So our first pass was going to be, can we make an off-channel storage reservoir work given the topography in that property?
And the offline is a lot faster.
I like the offline because you know you're only using it for a small amount of the year. It's got all year to go up.
Yeah, so with the offline system, basically you put an inlet at the high end of the site out of the creek, and you're able to draw water out of that through the winter months where there's plentiful amounts of water. And then you shut that down likely in May. And then you're not drawing water out of the creek for May, June through October. And when you use those parameters, it goes through permitting much faster. Fish and wildlife are very concerned about any impacts to water availability during the summer months for fish habitat.
John, once we make this a shovel-ready project, is there really grant funding out there for an offline reservoir, or is this something that's going to have to be funded in-house?
I don't see any reason why it wouldn't be eligible for some sort of public funding.
Okay.
So I know we talked about in the budget meeting that SDC funds could be used, but we would have to get this moved into that CIP, right, John?
Yeah.
I believe that's a recommendation we made at the last council meeting.
Yeah.
For them to include this into their SDC plan.
Okay.
I think I can't remember. I'm gonna check. Yeah, I'd have to look.
Sorry to jump in the room. So, John, the $10,000 is going to get the preliminary done, right?
Yeah.
The additional $50,000 will take us home, in a sense, to complete.
Yeah, for an off-channel system. Yep.
Preliminary is what, like, site?
Can you describe preliminary for us, John, just so we have a kind of an oversight or overview of it?
Yeah, so what we do in a preliminary study is we'll rely generally on GIS data. So we'll get LIDAR data to define the ground contours. And then we'll utilize that to develop a grading plan for the reservoir. After we have that and figure out the general footprint of what the reservoir would be, then we go out and do a topographic survey on the property. We do a geotechnical investigation on the property to refine the design of the reservoir.
Okay. I know that they put some money in the budget for that this year. And I believe we also put $100,000 seed money in there for grant matching or whatever to get that project started. So if the council approves the budget tomorrow night, there was budgeted funds for the study and to get that shovel ready, and then to have funds to maybe help match for a grant.
Okay.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
I think that's a kind of our high priority at the moment. You know, between that and the log jam, I think that's pretty much the two priorities. Anything else on that?
Yeah. Just switching gears a little bit. I know, John, we talked too briefly in regards to the transmission, the intertie with Hillsborough and circulating some of that Ron Merkley money that direction, as far as instead of doing a survey on our current distribution line from the water plant to the reservoir, using that money to fund more of that intertie.
Correct.
I don't know if, I mean, just to share that information that you told me as far as just kind of a better cost, a better value of our dollar as far as studying that intertie, and more so than studying our own current.
Yeah, so the Merkley funds, we'll call it, you know, that's a pretty big value for studying the upper transmission line. And really the intent of that study was to figure out where exactly the line is. And, you know, that includes easement mapping, surveying the line as needed, and then developing a plan for replacing the upper transmission line. Now, if we're going to Hillsborough, that provides us an opportunity to alleviate some of the importance of that upper transmission line. And I think by that, you could justify using Merkley funds to support the Hillsborough intertie study. Honestly, I think you can accomplish both for the amount of money that you have, but I think you could reasonably divert some of those funds to the Hillsborough intertie.
You just have to get permission from the grant manager.
So what fund is this? Is this the
Merkley grant? that the city applied for, or it was originally to survey and for the transmission line from the treatment plant to the reservoir. It's like $192,000. But what we're thinking about is that you should be able to use some of that funds to do the survey for that tie line to Hillsborough.
I guess, is that something we need to take to council, or is that something that's already been discussed? I can't remember.
I don't remember if we talked about rerouting some of those funds for that intertie. I mean, it's something we could recommend to council that, if at all possible, use some of those funds for that intertie.
So it sells well better than the
I hate to say on record, but I think so for me personally, just because of how it all lays out, really.
Kind of the way it lays out. If we go to Hillsborough, we come down Mount Richmond, we can tie it into our transmission line from the treatment plant to the reservoir. So we can actually fill our reservoirs off the Hillsborough. If you come from McMinnville, we're going to have to put in you're either going to have to put in a reservoir out west somewhere, because there's not, or it'd be direct feed, so you have no way to store.
It gives you some emergency water, though.
If you could get a reservoir on that.
You're going to be more money.
City of McMinnville is going to have more control over what you, not City of McMinnville, Macwater might, on what you do with the water.
Yes.
That might be some of the deciding factor too. So I didn't print it all out, but when we were reading through the email that we got in regards to the SDC funds, that pretty much so really isn't part of the program. We're not going to get hit with some huge number.
Yeah.
So that changes that whole thought process for me. But just, I think that the City of Hillsborough water is going to be a better tie to help our water districts, water needs for the city of Yamhill. And if they want to, they have another growth or whatever they're going to do, we have more of an open door. Mm-hmm. Or City of Mac Water Light says we can't use it to expand our water.
That's true.
Well, I think if you tie into that Mount Richmond coming down, we might have enough feed there to actually, if the plant went down, be able to back feed up those residents that are on that main line. John, would that?
Yeah, I mean, we've got to put a pump in either way to get over the mountain there. So in theory, we could have a pump that would back feed the transmission line toward the plant to provide customers water. I think where this discussion becomes more relevant is probably the outcome of the study, right? So we've got about 3 miles of pipeline from the plant up to the point where we would intertie with Hillsborough, and then 5 miles up to Hillsborough. So at a certain point, the city's going to have to make a decision. Do we replace 3 miles of pipeline going to the treatment plant, or do we replace or install 5 miles of pipeline to Hillsborough? And so when you're making that decision, that's where I think if we study both of these under this current funding, then you have the information needed to make an educated decision on where you want to put the money here.
What's your best cost benefit?
Yeah.
It's not to say that the transmission line from the plant to the reservoirs doesn't get replaced at some point, but you know that you're hitting you're going to guarantee your water if it's coming from Hillsborough, and maybe 20 years down the road, you rehab your transmission line up to your plant. to improve your efficiency. But
maybe we get lucky and get a grant and do all of it.
There you go.
There's a lottery to give us a bunch of money.
Yeah. Who knows? Well, thanks, John.
Yeah, thanks, John.
I know that
the line here for any of the stuff that comes up. So
I know that the budget committee did put the grant funds in the budget, so it's already in there. So if it's awarded, they don't need to do a supplemental to forward. It's there. That skips that hurdle. So I think we've got a lot of things that are ready to go. Just I need some minor, getting that impound over to the CIP. And so if we haven't made that recommendation, make that recommendation to the council that they get that upstream impound put on the CIP list.
Yeah. Sounds good. Yeah. I mean, that's.
I move we make a recommendation to the council that they consider the offline reservoir and put that on the CIP.
Just one minor correction there. I think what you're looking for is the offline reservoir planning study.
Okay.
Not the reservoir itself.
Yes. Planning study. Would the reservoir have to be in the CIP list if we use any SDC funds for that, or would it qualify?
You can identify the planning study as an element of the CIP.
Okay.
And then if the result of the study is, yes, this is a viable solution, then the reservoir goes on to the CLP.
Okay. What Paul and John said.
Yeah.
Sounds good. You got a second? Any discussion?
No.
Vote.
Aye.
Small and aye.
Walford aye.
Jensen aye. We will add that to our recommendation at the next council meeting. In regards to the Merkley and that study for the transmission line, do we want to make a recommendation to council that they see if they can use some of that Merkley money in the study of the Hillsborough tie line?
Yes, I make a motion that we do a study, add it, whatever you just said. The Mercury funds to work on the Hillsborough transmission line if possible. That makes sense.
Second.
Second.
New discussion. Vote.
Phillips aye.
Small and aye.
Walford aye.
Schitt's aye. All right. Moving forward. Sharon, did you want to go over the grant stuff?
When the Mercury funds, if they're, are they, we don't know if 100% sure, we don't know when.
We have been awarded the funding.
Okay.
I was contacted back in March by Betsy, who works for Senator Merkley, is that? She said that someone would be contacting us approximately 3 months. So it's been about 3 months. So we should be hearing from someone soon.
Yep.
And then if the Water Advisory Committee's recommendation to switch the focus of the what we applied for is approved, then I can speak with that person and see if they are okay with us doing that. So, we've been awarded the funding, and I want to say in the amount of $192,000. I'd have to checked for sure. Let's see. And that was, yeah, that's the Congressional Bill Grant, also known as STAG. The second one was, I had talked with Jason about the Hazard Mitigation Grant Program. I've been working on an application for the 2.1 million gallon finished water storage tank, and he was saying to go ahead and proceed with that application to proceed to get funding for that. So that was about it that I had on grants, because I've been too busy with budget and everything else to do me. But if you guys have any grants that you know of specifically that you want me to look at, I will try to carve some time out. Hopefully I get freed up soon.
Well, the city of Hillsboro, the brick. Are they wanting the information?
Did we get a letter to them?
Yes.
That was received by them on June 7th, got a confirmation from Tacy Steele, and then another person, and I don't have it here, was wanting the 2020 FEMA brick pre-application for the storage tank that I was just talking about, and then now I'm doing the, where we've shifted to the HMGP, the hazard mitigation. So I gave them that pre-application, which had changed from the brick pre-application, because they were saying they were looking at resilience upgrades and are interested in this type of project. Did you have any more information to add, Jason, to that?
No, I mean, that's pretty much in a nutshell, that they're interested in that project, the resilience of it. So that's I think it's a huge win. I know I spoke to John about it a little bit, and from his understanding is there's, you know, a lot of federal money out there right now, so they could be looking to help us support that with the intertie, you know, so it might come from their end.
Yay.
Yeah,
I sent that to them the other day.
Yeah, we can get it. So the city of Hillsboro agreement, we've got the letter in, they've got it. We got our foot in the door. So I think we're good there. The leak detection conservation plan.
Yeah, so OAW came out last week. We installed a 1-inch meter up at the reservoir to capture any leak detection. We got as far as the first shut off valve off of Turner Creek because of elevations. So now we're able to read from that point to that point as far as water loss. It was a great learning experience. It all went well. So that's a full go now. So now we have an actual way to read that and isolate it.
So this is measuring the water loss from the treatment plant to the reservoir.
Yeah. It was just kind of an unknown area.
Yeah.
So we attacked that. And so far we've had pretty decent readings up there. We haven't seen any significant loss, so, which is good. You know, we don't know if somebody's watering their yard or, you know what I mean? It's hard to decipher that. But
someone's using it offline, you'll find out pretty soon.
Exactly.
The weather.
Exactly. There's no 20,000, 30,000 gallons even.
No, nothing. Yeah. So we're good there. Water conservation plan, I will say, just through our current situation, I had to kind of reroute that, and I'm reworking it because now they have to go back and work up another contract because we were kind of late to the dinner table on that one. So, but it is progressing.
Mm-hmm. So. The discharge water meter at the plant.
So Tag Automation came out there and reprogrammed it, and recalibrated it, and we're not seeing any significant loss. I think it's within, like, I think Kyle said 12 to 15 gallons. So it's pretty close. It's pretty dang close. They said, you know, to go to that next step would be to replace that meter like we discussed early on, but I think you'd have more loss in the replacement of that than 15 gallons.
Good. Moving forward, it sounds like. Kyle, have any usage reports for?
Him and I talked. He's just really at this point in time, he's going through the water survey with the state. So he said, let me finish this up and then I'll get that. I saw that email. So he's pretty overwhelmed and stressed right now with that. So I said, that's fine. You know, just let them know.
Yeah, I'm not looking for guards.
Yeah, I didn't know how much that entailed. I was like, holy smokes.
The gal from the Department of Health comes out and goes through your system or looks at your system, asks you questions, looks at your testing records. Ours was we have the two reservoirs up there. They're on Willikensy. Willikensy has a lock gate. Most, it's not during the day. They're in a mesh fence. And we didn't lock the gate on that. We have locks on the lids, but the lids, what the wasp nests do underneath the lid. So when you go to get in the damn thing, you about to get killed. It's kind of hard to spray them when they're sitting above the water. And so that was our big issue. And then I was missing one padlock off of them. And anyway,
yeah,
just that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
was all. And we didn't, yeah. I think they should have designed those reservoirs differently than what they did. They made two 1,500 gallon ones, which I'm not sure why they didn't just make, and they're concrete. And she wants us to clean them. And I said, well, we don't have an issue with them. So every time you get in, if you start trying to put someone in one of those to clean them, I mean, they got a manhole cover on there. And that's what we're locking. But anyway, it's just like, why would we mess with it if it's not an issue? We don't have any bad water samples. So why would we mess with it?
Yeah, that's kind of what we're going through, because Liquid Visions, who we're using to go up there and clean those. I mean, I think the last report, they're supposed to be done every 2 to 3 years, I want to say. And it's just, I think we got to, because they're in good shape, we got like a 5-year grace period, but now it's 2 to 3 years. So,
what we got past her bugging me more often, because we were, and I didn't follow the guidelines of the testing for the bacterial stuff, because with COVID going on, I'm not going to someone else's house to try to get a water sample.
Good point.
That's ours. The testing points in the lids, the reservoirs. We're going to have to address cleaning the reservoirs at some point soon.
Yeah, those individuals gave us a pretty decent price. I mean, I was like pretty shocked for diving in there and what they do. And so
these are, I don't even know how you can probably stand in them. They're not like that big.
Yeah.
Anyway, so it's not a real pleasant experience.
No, I see it on his face every day. I'm just like, geez.
Yeah.
So we've got on here district contracts. We did get all the district contracts. The one that we thought was missing it's not. It's just the 9, I believe.
Is that the dryer lane one? I'm probably pretty sure is the one that you'd be missing.
Yeah, I think that.
It's more of a Fred Step program. That's what I'm guessing, because he's the only one I didn't get any response out of when I started calling.
Gotcha.
There's 6 connections there.
Well, at some point, if they're going to start messing with contracts, they're going to have a contract, the same as anybody else.
Yeah, and that's probably something that down the line here, we ought to recommend to council that maybe try to standardize all those contracts.
They should be the same.
So that they're the same across the board.
Yeah, because some of them have the domestic wording in them and some of them do not. And the domestic water should not be in those contracts, personally, is my personal. There's no way that you can say that. I don't know how many I would say on my line or not. I mean, that they have a cow or a horse or something that they're watering that's not considered domestic water source. So at some point, they're going to, and that wording was never there in the original contracts. they added it back maybe when Chuck Mitchell was mayor. So in that time frame.
So. Yeah, everybody's got a copy of those, don't
they? Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe over the month we might be able to kind of read through those and maybe come up with some recommendations to kind of streamline them. And
yeah, and I don't know if that's an attorney thing, because I'm
it's probably going to be an attorney thing, but you know, maybe we can point out some areas.
Water districts are going to get together as a whole, and when they start getting shoved at us and have them reverted by attorney for the districts, because we can't, I don't want to feel like I'm breaking the law every time I water my horse.
Yeah.
Or breaking a rule or something. I don't want to feel that way. So that's when those districts were put in, that was not the intent. It was a domestic water source. Yamhill County Mushroom was not put in for a domestic water source. So somehow we got to come up with a proper wording to protect what we have, what we did. Same thing with Fruit Hill. They're not.
Yeah, I think it's just maybe we go through there and just maybe as a group come up with some recommendations that they could take back to everybody that is fair and equal to everybody across the board.
Yeah, and we all need to same follow the same guidelines for when we have a water shortage, everybody needs to be doing the same thing. There shouldn't be any, you know.
So, I mean, if it was all the same, that way.
Yeah, it just makes it clear.
If
you don't do X, you're going to get Y or whatever. So,
yeah, exactly.
Maybe over the next month, maybe next month, we can come back and maybe
have
some thoughts on that. The equipment maintenance and standards, I think that we've kind of talked about that. Maybe try and
I think maybe when the districts meet is coming up, if somebody could kind of put a parts list together in a sense, that way we can kind of work off that and have that extra, you know.
The problem I see with the standards, I mean, you can set some standards, but they're all the water districts are in the same boat as the city of Yamhill as far as replacing line.
Yeah.
And so I don't know who's got the worst line out of the group, but anyway.
I was saying, you know, if you went kind of the same as you replace things, this is going to kind of be our standard.
Yeah.
And that way, if at 1 a.m, Water District X out here has a leak and they don't have something, but maybe the city has, or vice versa, maybe the Water District has something the city doesn't have.
Yeah, we've been trying to keep a few things on hand, mainly the one that clamps around, you know.
Highbacks.
Yeah, but anyways, yeah, I don't know what Paul's got over there.
Yeah, it just maybe help things in the future. Just so yeah, maybe if the districts meet, if they kind of had a.
And that's
maybe
what
we all use the same vendor. That'd be part of that process, right?
Yeah,
like,
it would
all
be.
All just use Ferguson instead of like some people using whomever.
Yeah. Else.
I used for meters. I used to use the. The ones that were they were in Tillamook. Now they're in Redmond or Bend. And that's, I got that number from Richard Howard. Because we replaced a lot of our meters and it's time to start doing it again.
Yeah.
And at that time we were buying them from whoever the city of Yamhill was buying from. But now we're gonna update to the digital type things, then we need to do something different. So
sounds good.
Yeah, so it's just all I don't know that some of the water districts don't have any, like Tim's Piper's districts kind of stepped up to the plate and and done some stuff. And so we haven't had our district meeting yet. We will be, so we'll have to bring that up about updating some meters. Start with the ones that are kind of iffy.
Yeah.
We got some with water under hard to read. Anyway.
I hear you.
So I think that's what you're gonna find with the setting some kind of standards, I think, is a great idea. And if you got some of these guys, some of these people that are backwards, so I'm not sure you're going to fix that.
Yeah, tell me about it.
Yeah.
Work in progress.
Yeah.
I think same way with water rates. We've talked about that.
Mm-hmm.
Talked about sort of recommending a flat rate. I think there's.
So that's interesting that this one gets brought up. So when OAW was out doing our leak detection with us and putting in some parts, they were saying not to go with a flat rate. And I'd like to bring them in to discuss why, but they had, you know, just like a handful of like, they've seen issues across the board, like, well, this and that. I'm not going to speak for them, but I will, I'll bring them in. Yeah, because I think it'd be really good to hear them out, because I was on board with the flat rate. I was like, kind of makes sense to me, right? Yeah. You pay for what you use. But they had a handful of reasons why not to do it that route. So I guess we'll bring them on the next meeting. And
I'd go for reducing it to 2,000 or whatever.
Well, you may work with them and see if they can be here at our July meeting. Presentation to
definitely
the why.
The wise, right? And exactly. That's all. I'll reach out to them and have them.
I think that'd be interested to see.
We're guessing. I mean, we're making suggestions. It sounds like good to us, but maybe it's not.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I'd be interested. Our district is that way. So flat rate type of deal.
Maybe we'll concentrate next month on
water rates.
If they can be here and we can ask questions.
Then the water rates will take effect for the July water, correct?
Yeah.
So your August 1st bill or your end of July bill is going to be the new rates.
Yeah. Right. That'd be interesting. Be good to hear. Educational, we've talked about that as far as.
So with that, Brian, are you and I going to collaborate and make some video, or should we just open it up to just a handful of community members and have them go out and walk what we're working? I mean, I think it's all positive, but personally, I know that I wouldn't mind opening the doors up to, you know, a dozen or half a dozen people and letting them see the system so they have a better understanding of it. I mean, schedule that time, you know, make it really a presentation piece, not just, you know, the policy.
Again, how do you pick those? If we do a good video narration, good. And put it out there that it's out for everybody. And then everybody hears the same message.
And there's no, they said this.
Yeah.
When I went out and did the tour, Jason said this.
Yeah, that's a valid point.
I've never been in that building. I've been by it enough times. Never been in it. So.
Any time, Kathy.
We got to work on getting something put together.
You and I will touch base about that and see what we can.
Now, if the educational piece, if you're including some of the district stuff in there, maybe talk about when the water districts were formed and why they were formed. Because my first contract that I found says, you know, they were formed to help the city of Yamhill pay for their water infrastructure at the time.
And it'd be interesting to have the copy of those old contracts. But
kind of see if I've even got an old contract. I know that I've just got something that's when they first started hooking on. I mean, I think it's in the.
It'd be interesting to see what had that and just show the history, how it all started and where it's at today. Include that in. That would probably help for those that haven't lived here for 100 years.
Mm-hmm. Well, the districts have changed just like the city. I mean, it used to be if you got a water leak, every John, came and helped. They dug it out, fixed it, put it back, and now we're contracting basically because unless it's Paul Vandergrift or Jim Phillips, it doesn't get fixed. I mean, so it's just easier for me to call Brian King.
Yeah.
So, it's, he's got the parts and pieces usually. So, yeah. If we don't have, so that's So how we fix things are different than what they used to.
Then they got the liability insurance and stuff, mm-hmm. kind of take that off of you. So now we'll
the idea of the video tour of the system, the water system facilities, is a great idea. I don't think most people appreciate how complex the treatment plant is,
yeah.
the impound, the reservoirs. I mean, just the scale of those facilities, I think, is really going to shock people and help to support the city in rate adjustments.
And if you go through what your testing requirements are, done and stuff, because you guys are testing way more than I do. And my argument with is, why am I testing? There's no open gap between what you sell me and what I'm taking. But I still have to do all some of the testing.
I wonder that too. Yeah.
Yeah. And I mentioned that to the gal that comes out mm-hmm. every year.
You've got reservoirs. Right?
Yeah, we do.
Yes.
You know, so this my year's led to copper testing. So I got to go. I used to go back the same five houses every year.
Yeah, but
mm-hmm.
it would be nice to include the water district's explanation on the. Yeah, I mean, I don't know if you want to have that as part of the video or not, but.
You can make it a separate video.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of people that don't really understand.
No, it's like John said. I mean, there's a lot of complexity to that thing, and it's. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think if we could do a good, you know, I can either light my drone and take footage, or maybe talk with Chris Livingston and see if he would fly and take some, get some good aerial. But each,
yeah,
kind of the, you know, where they impound and down, how things that run. We'll work on that.
Yeah.
We'll put that on our to-do list. Anything else?
Ryan, we've already got drone footage of the impound.
So. You do, John? Yeah. How about of the treatment plant and all of that? You have any of that?
Treatment plant, no. Reservoir site, yes.
So maybe we could get a copy of that, but each yep. and just we could start building something, and maybe between that and some PowerPoints and stuff. Go through and take a bunch of pictures in the plant. Maybe just
You might look at the PowerPoint that I did last fall. I guess it was at the fire station there.
Yeah,
I think it had a lot of the elements you're looking for as background information at how the system operates. It didn't have so much detail at each facility, but it had the high level explanation.
Yeah, I think we take that and the drone footage and then kind of the history, how it all started and how we got to where we're at today.
Yeah.
We'll get that together.
Thanks, John. Anything else on old business? We got quite the list we're still working on.
Well, yeah, but they're not easy.
Yes. No, it's not. Yes. Not things that are going to happen overnight.
So, I didn't. Where are they at with their new city administrator person?
He countered, and that's about where we're at.
Yeah.
And that's your name leaves the end of this month.
Yes. Well, one thing I was going to ask the Water Advisory Committee is, did we want to set anything out just the educational piece that we wrote, just to get out to people to see if, you know, just to let them know, hey, you know, we're in that time of year, you might want to think about, you know, a little bit of conservation here and there. I don't know if it's going to be, I don't want it to be kind of a scare, you know what I mean?
Because
it's kind of a thin line.
It might be, you know, just some facts, you know.
Yeah.
Water in the evening, not when it's 90 degrees outside, you know, wait till evening time.
See, for whatever reason, I'm getting Primeville water information. They're always putting little notes out about this or why that or try this or, you know, so I don't know if they have, if they're having more, because they have their irrigation too along with their other stuff. So it's kind of interesting. So are we, did the water level restriction stuff get done?
That got done. Good.
I'm just waiting for you to review and make sure all the changes are in there before I send it to codification.
I think all the changes are there that we got.
Okay.
Missed anything?
So we changed the one thing on the level 3 or 4. Something changed.
Yeah.
We're talking about large businesses.
That too.
Sure. So where does it have to go after Brian gets done with it?
Once he accepts that all the changes are in there as the Water Advisory Committee had stated, then it goes off for codification. And have you been on the city's website and seen the there's a municipal code section?
Yeah, I've been in there.
And they'll update that so it'll reflect all those changes that you made. And then we also have municipal code books, and they'll give us additions and for those changes that we made. So it'll become an official part. Well, it's already officially part of the code, but you'll be able to see it in the code.
So at some point we'll have it to send out or get out.
It's codification. I have to look at, because they do it, I think, just twice a year. So I have to check and see when they're doing it again, so when it'll actually show up. But it has been approved.
Okay, so but is it something as a water advisory group that we'd be putting out before it goes through that process, the codification? Whatever that is.
It's basically already approved by the council, as you presented it. And so all you have to do is make sure.
Because at that point, get it out to the water to the district.
Do you guys want to review this, make sure I didn't miss anything?
I'd like to see a copy.
Yeah, sure.
Do you want me to print or electronic?
Electronic for me.
Electronic's fine for me. If we're not going to do it today, it's fine.
If you want to just send it out, and let's
email. That's good.
Email it out, and if you see anything, let me know. Let's say a week.
Yeah.
Okay. If I haven't heard anything by next Tuesday, if you don't hear anything from me by next Tuesday, we will.
Okay.
We will say that it's finalized. How's that? That worked?
Yeah, it works. Okay.
But I've read through it so many times that I.
You got to start off. Yeah. I haven't read it since city council meeting.
Well, it just kind of. So. Yeah, we'll send that out if everybody wants to review it and just yay, nay, or you miss this, or if we haven't heard back by next Tuesday, we will assume that it is correct.
Everybody survives the 4th of July.
The Tuesday's the
4th. Yeah, geez.
Monday's the 4th.
Monday's the 4th.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's the right before.
So, fireworks on July 3rd out on Laughlin Road.
Yeah.
They usually do a pretty good job.
That's a joke. Yeah.
I had Facebook again this year. I always feel a little guilty when I do that because they're charging admission on their side of the street. Everybody on my side's free. Yeah. For our side's free.
All the locals.
The one that puts that on, I actually went and took my pyro class from here in Mays.
So. They haven't screwed up yet. I mean, they've done a pretty good job. They had a fire up there last year, the day after, but that I think was more of a cigarette butt. They didn't water their bark mulch down.
Anything else for this meeting? We're moving forward. We still got a lot of things to work on.
Oh, yeah. It's just never ending, but at least we've got some going on some things.
I know, like I said, we did get some money put in the budget for that off-site reservoir, not only for the study, but also seed money for matching grants. So I thought that was
awesome.
That was a big effort there.
That's got a lot to go hoops drill jump through before.
Yeah, I mean it's not overwhelming though.
Well, no, and I think having an off stream instead of it having the stream run through it is going to make it
easier right?
to get it done.
Yeah.
But if you're fishing a lot,
I think it, looking at it kind of a city standpoint of showing good effort by putting, they've recognized it, they've kind of taken some of our recommendations and now they've actually put some money. Not a lot of money, but it's something to get started. So I think we're moving forward.
Well, it seems like the city's got a lot
going on.
Which I think all small cities do. I mean, it's all overwhelming.
It's everywhere.
It's pretty hard for the city of Yamhill to try to keep pace with like Mack Water and Light or City of Hillsborough that have that planning out in the home. There's no way,
no way, period.
You can keep that, even if you have a written plan, it's still hard to keep on track with that.
Yeah, after when John came in here, it was just like, it's amazing to me that, I mean, those people are that sharp to put that plan so far out there. And
I know.
Yeah, I just.
They said they had some of their commissioners are 30 years on.
Mm-hmm.
So that's. Someone's got some pretty thought process sitting on that board.
Mm-hmm.
So it's
cool. Yes, it is. All right. Nothing else. Have a motion to adjourn.
Make a motion to adjourn. Second. Sorry I was late.
You're adjourned.
Thanks again, John.
Thanks, John.
Yeah, thanks everybody.
All right. I guess
go home and roll on. Yeah. Be interesting to have them here next month and see what they have to say about rates.
That way we all get educated on that one.